It's June 1st. Oh, it's finally a different month. The May stuff can go away because it's June 1st. It's the beginning of a new fiscal year for a lot of companies because that's their fiscal year ends, and I don't know.
Wendell and I technically aren't here.
Technically, well, I'm very soon to be on a plane to go to Computex. So the news next week is definitely going to be super weird because next week is Computex week.
And Chris is soon to be on an inflatable kayak.
I might be at the bottom of a lake next week. We don't know. I have a flotation device. It's okay. In case the kayak doesn't work out. But I think it'll be great.
Yeah, we have just PSA. We have no idea how we're going to do the news next week or how that's going to wash out. But we know that there's a lot of patrons that are clamoring with fistfuls of cash. So we'll figure out something for you. But I don't know if the news is going to launch at midnight next week because midnight is noon where I'm going to be.
We'll see.
I don't know. Speaking of black is white and upside down and cats living with dogs, YouTube is messing with the order of videos in some users' subscription feeds. Now, I'm not talking about the homepage or the thing or the side tabs or the other thing or the thing or, you know, anything else. It's literally the things that you're subscribed to, which historically have shown in chronological order, not in chronological order anymore for some users.
It's in the relevance, but it doesn't explain how it determines what's relevant toward you.
Yeah, because when you subscribe, it's not like you can subscribe more to one.
I really like this channel.
I know Snapchat did this, and everyone hated it. And Twitter did this, and everyone hated it. I think Facebook, did they do it?
Facebook did that.
Facebook did it.
You have everyone to reset it.
Guess what? Everyone hated it. Anyway. So YouTube, of course, saw that unbelievable success and said, we should do it too.
Well, it was financially successful somehow.
Well, Facebook, I don't know about the other two, but Facebook does have an option to reset it to chronological because you have to do that every so often because it will quietly reset itself back to relevance mode. And it's like, no, I don't want this.
The Windows 10 way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Windows 10 loves to do that after every single update now. It's like, I should remember your preferences. It doesn't. It just doesn't even bother anymore. It's just like Cortana came back the other day and it's like, bitch, I removed your DLLs. How did you even get back? She was back. Makes me sad. You know what's interesting is in 2014, YouTube removed... You used to be able to have an RSS feed of your subscriptions. And so you could use a feed reader to look at all the stuff that you're subscribed to. They turned that off in 2014. You can get individual feeds of individual channels, but YouTube no longer aggregates your own subscriptions for you. I wonder why. Anyway, Facebook has been accused of conducting mass surveillance through its apps. So this guy is upset. He's suing them because of the whole logged metadata about calls and text messages and also shadow profiles.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, he's not wrong, but I doubt he's going to win this case.
Well, they might settle. I mean, how much bad press can Facebook live through? Although later we'll find out it might be a lot.
The allegations foreshadowing five. The allegations about surveillance appear in January in the January filing of a fifth amended complaint made by 6-3. It alleges that Facebook used a range of methods that adapted from different phones that users carried to collect information and use it for commercial purposes. So his point is that this was deliberate, intentional, ongoing, and people inside the company had to be assigned to do exactly this with things like memo, you're going to do this, and it's not, you know, incidental accidental or just a result of using the services. It was deliberate and intentional.
Again, he's not wrong.
Oh, Facebook has been every episode of the news this week. That is just, again,
we live in a Facebook world.
Or maybe we're just bad at organizing our stories. Though I guess...
No, we...
Well, you want one full episode of Facebook?
Yeah, I guess that would be worse.
But see, this has to do with... this is the social media section. So yeah, this is where they would normally belong. The other ones were government versus Facebook and Facebook in a business sense.
Yeah, because again, Facebook is shaping, like, not us, but most of society, but... Because we are the shepherds of technology, we need to be in the know about this kind of stuff. So that's why we tell you guys. It's important. So the backlash that never happened, new data shows people actually increased their Facebook usage after the Cambridge Analytica scandal.
Look how smug he looks there. It's does like he have the only robot emotion he knows.
Yeah, yeah, he hasn't installed the other emotions yet. They take up too much space. They went up 7% in terms of traffic and engagement. They didn't lose anybody from the delete Facebook thing, or at least they got enough new people to make up for those people. And the stock price went up. So everything about the Cambridge Analytica scandal was good for Facebook.
Now see, there was some other data that we reported a couple of weeks ago that was like 10, you know, Facebook may be down as much as 10%. People may be fleeing like crazy, and it didn't make any difference at all in their quarterly earnings report. This is more data that is contrary to the whole people are abandoning Facebook like crazy. I think it's more probably 10% did leave, but 12% came back because there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, or didn't come back, but saw it in the news and was like, "Hey, maybe I should try that."
Yeah, yeah. A lot of new people are like, "I'm bored and cripplingly lonely, and you're telling me that I can connect with real human beings on this website? Sign me up."
My old high school, you know, classmates and old roommates, and man, that sounds like a good time, said no one.
Speaking of which, how to use, you know, or heavy use of social media is linked to mental illness.
I can see that.
Yeah, this is all about how you get negative emotions from most social media interaction. So the more you use it, the more that adds up to a very unhappy lifestyle.
Oh my God, Zuckerberg literally is Lore from Star Trek when he was only feeding Data negative emotions. It totally is that episode of Star Trek.
So well, they looked at all the various services, and they also looked at like watching TV and FaceTime, where you're actually interacting with another human being through technology. And FaceTime, for example, made people very happy, whereas Twitter and Instagram made them very sad.
Well, because you can project something else that you're not necessarily on just using pictures or words. And harder with your actual face.
Yeah, and people see that, and they're like, my life isn't like that. Now I'm sad.
Or I have a lot of people who overshare on social media. Where it's like every little thing, like,
got another ingrown toenail, want to take a look? It's like, no.
Well, there's that, and then there's also like just personal problems. Like, my husband and I had a fight. It's like, I don't want to hear about this, but then of course it's got like 20 comments. And it's like, leave him. It's, you know, it's like a Jerry Springer episode.
But do you ever not read those?
I do like to read them. Yeah. Not because they don't make me feel depressed, though. They just kind of make me feel better about myself, which maybe that's its own probably negative, horrible thing.
What kind of crazy world is the algorithm going to create for us when it's like, I don't want to do this, this is bad, but then it's like, here, let me encourage more of that. Going to create a world of robots or something. There's also a landmark ruling this week. Trump's blocking of critics on Twitter violates the Constitution. So President Trump, he's a tweeter. He's a tweeter and a half. And he will not hesitate to block you, but apparently because he is the president and because that is his chosen medium of disseminating information, he can't block people.
It's like, you know, the old fireside chats, but less amicable.
Oh, wow. Future historians are, wow.
Yeah, it kind of is like that. But that goes to, like, think about it in terms of this. If Twitter is to the fireside chat, what in another 80 years, or however many years it's been, 60 years, what is going to be the horrible new thing that makes us look longingly back at Twitter?
Just screaming and grunting over the radio.
So the real story here isn't that Trump isn't allowed to ignore you on Twitter. He can mute you. That's okay. What he can't do is block you, because by blocking you, he's taking you out of the conversation that other people can see. So they're saying that you are allowed to criticize Trump. Other people are allowed to see that. But if he doesn't personally want to see it, he has the mute button. So that's why he's not allowed to block.
What if Twitter changes the way that it works in the future? Like, that would, like, it seems like that would just totally invalidate this ruling. And, like, if Twitter's like, we're going to change the way that mute and blocking works in the future.
Well, I think it's just the rule is that he has to be able to take criticism.
It's kind of exciting, though, that the ruling came down this way. So yeah, I would not have expected that.
He doesn't necessarily have to take it. He doesn't ever have to see it. He could have somebody else muting if he wanted to, but you have to be able to see criticism of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, of course, totally possible for him to stop using Twitter, which a lot of his people have encouraged him to do.
It might be possible, but I don't think it's plausible. I think he'll do that
forever. I don't think it's possible for him at this point.
You think he'll get the DTs if he gives up Twitter?
Yes, absolutely. In hardware news this week, Google and LG have unveiled the world's highest resolution OLED on glass VR display. And the video of this, like the what it looks like through the lens, is mind-blowing. You should check this out because it's got a little table of resolutions in here, and it talks about the actual resolution of the human eyeball, and this is like half the resolution of the human eyeball.
With the possibility of someday, the human eye is about 9600 by 9600, and this thing theoretically can get 9600 by 9000.
So,
wow. That's true photorealism. Unfortunately, we don't have any hardware capable of displaying video at that resolution, so
nope, not even close. Well, you know, they'll probably come up with new technology so that only the tiny little part where the tiny little part of the middle of your eye is looking at is in high resolution and everything else is rendered in low resolution to save CPU cycles, because you can't really see like over here in high resolution anyway.
And so 20 years down the road, this technology plus deepfake discriminator technology, that's the world we're going to be living in.
What a time to be alive. If World War III doesn't come soon, reduce us back to the 1980s.
Well, the robots technology are coming for urban warfare, remember?
That'll be fine, because we'll just be in the bunkers, hooked up to these VR machines, and being fed through a tube.
Playing Fallout while we're suffering through Fallout.
I remember, you know, playing Fallout above ground. Those were the days.
I remember being in my own room eating popcorn in my underwear, playing Fallout, and now I'm in this giant suit.
There's a new technology for monitoring your gut bacteria. You can swallow this gut sensor, and it'll beam the results to a smartphone. So this sensor will survive your digestive tract until it gets in the gut, and then it sort of starts to disintegrate, and based on how it disintegrates and how it's built, it can send data to your smartphone.
Well, I think it's actually reusable. It just has little cavities with membranes.
And full only, of other gut bacteria.
Only certain parts of your gut flora can get into those membranes.
Mm.
So, and inside those membranes are different things that react. So only when a certain membrane has something to react with does it send a signal. I think it's pretty primitive. It's just like, yes, this is present. And it might be able to do a little bit of, like, I think there's this percentage. But the thing that they've done, they've used this in pigs. They've been able to figure out if pigs had bleeding inside their GI tract with this thing.
Cancer confirmed.
Yeah.
That might be... can you get a colonoscopy that way? That would be much better. Just swallow something and then...
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be much better.
Although you would have to sort of... I mean, it would be sterile, it'd be clean, but mentally, you'd have to remember that hundreds
that's been
of,
in someone
yeah,
else's
hundreds
gut.
Of people have shit this out before.
Do you have to dig it out of your own poops?
There'd be a robot for that.
It's like Thor's eyeball in Avengers. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, thanks. I haven't seen that one.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care either.
It's probably fine. Hey, there's, you know, we talk about getting RFID implants sometimes. It's getting really popular in Sweden, as it turns out.
I do not understand the mentality behind this. But apparently, these people here love it. They use it for their bus passes and all kinds of stuff. And they're like, security? Meh.
What do you think it is about Sweden that makes them so cavalier about this technology?
Because I think their government cares about them. They're like, oh, someone will take care of that for me. Like, I'm not worried about them misusing anything here.
I guess. Maybe it's healthy to have a somewhat despotic government like we do. Because it creates that...
that distrust.
That hardened, fear. Jaded layer that manifests itself into the level one news.
It's like a patriotic armor.
I don't know. Something about that seems like a bad idea.
I could go for an RFID ring. I think that would be cool. So that way I don't have to worry about it. I can just wear it all the time.
Yeah, but it's so easy to lose, though.
Yeah, you've lost other things.
Anyway.
I don't think you'd be the... Like, I wouldn't give you the Ring of Power. Let's just say that. You wouldn't even get a dwarven ring.
It would find its way to a new owner.
Yeah, very quickly.
It's fine. There's an impossible EM drive test, a new test for the impossible EM drive. This is the one that we've covered before where it looks like some propulsion is happening as a result of the emanation of microwave radiation, which could be awesome for space travel because it's propellantless motion. Well, this group has set up their own EM drive and their own equipment and done the tests, and they think the thrust is coming from torsion on the Earth's magnetic field compared to the magnetic field this thing is generating.
And because there was a few centimeters of cable going into the actual area where they were doing the test. So what they did was they had a spring. They were measuring tension on the spring. They measured 4 micronewtons. Then they turned the whole thing another direction parallel to the spring, and they measured 4 micronewtons. So, sad day for infinite space travel.
And it was 180 degrees was 4 micronewtons in the opposite direction, and 90 degrees was no thrust or something. I don't know.
The spring always had the same.
Oh.
That's the failure. If what you're describing would be success.
Oh, yeah. So, that's not a good situation in terms of, like, thrust. Because the thrust was not coming from the thing itself. The thrust was coming from the wires.
Well, there's no electromagnetic field in space, so this would probably not actually work.
Or magnetic. There's no Earth magnetic field in space. So, yeah.
Well, just what you actually take with you. So, mansplainers.
Argentina, an Argentinian bank is using Bitcoin for cross-border payments. So, Argentina's got this sanctions thing going on. It's hard to get
capital
money.
Capital controls.
Hard to get money in and out of the country, except through Bitcoin.
Yeah. Now, imagine how many fees you're racking up here. You're transferring to Bitcoin. You're dealing with the fluctuations that could happen in that 20 minutes that you're transferring your money. Then you're turning it back into another local currency on the other end. But it's still cheaper than dealing with the capital controls that Argentina is doing to you.
Whee. So
now they're talking about how this actually could be really good for Bitcoin because it provides a lot of liquidity. You know, like the market moving a lot is that there's not always buyers and sellers that can agree on a price. And that moves, it can be wild swings. But if you've got a constant flow of government stuff, you know, like this kind of transaction going, then it smooths that out like a capacitor. Mm-hmm. It keeps the market more stable.
Interesting. Bloomberg has an article on, well, it's not really similar, but Bloomberg has a good article on what's going on with the U.S. criminal probe into Bitcoin price manipulation. So there's a lot going on here, and this is actually a surprisingly well put together article and a surprisingly well put together argument.
Yeah, so this is about spoofing. And the same person being on both sides of the trade. Spoofing is where you create huge buy and sell orders. And when the market starts to move in the direction you want, you cancel all of them. And then the other one is where you're on both sides of the trade. You're buying and selling, but you're doing it to march the price in a given direction. Both things are highly illegal. Both things go on constantly in the real stock market.
They just don't ever catch anybody.
Well, they don't look too hard.
But because of this Bitcoin thing, they're going to look really hard, it sounds like.
Yeah, they're starting an investigation, and I'm sure they will find somebody.
Well, our next article is still loading, but GDPR... Come on. It's India is looking at trading virtual currencies.
Actually taxing.
Or taxing. Yeah. The GST.
We could make money off of this. Let's rethink our policy.
That's a general service tax.
But wait, a few weeks ago, I remember the article where it's like India is banning cryptocurrency.
Yeah, well, now they're saying maybe not ban it, maybe just tax the hell out of it. And not just buying and selling, but also owning might be taxed in India, which would be, it's really going to suppress cryptocurrency trading.
Neat. No.
Well, not really neat.
Just no. FYI, if you're in India thinking about cryptocurrencies, probably should check that out.
Move your money into Argentina. Don't do that.
Oh, really big news in gaming this week. Valve got approval from Apple to do the Steam in-home streaming thing on Apple devices. So you could install applications on Apple TV, on iOS devices, phones, tablets, whatever. And you could play whatever is in your Steam library on an Apple device. And Steam actually got that through. It was launched early, and so they were like, great. And so it was briefly live for a while. And then, like, 2 days later, Apple shut it down before formal announcement. And Apple said, oh, Steam and Home Streaming does not comply with Apple terms and guidelines. And they said something about it may not be compatible from a business aspect. And then later, right before we, you know, right before we started putting the news together, they said that doesn't comply with policies around in-app purchases and stuff like that. And it's like, wait a minute. There's no in-app purchases in. Oh, you're talking about Apple wants a piece of the pie from Steam. Well, what makes Steam different than like remote desktop software?
Yeah, so they're saying, let's say that you're playing Call of Duty through on your Apple device,
right? as you do.
Yeah, so Apple's saying you playing Call of Duty and buying a loot crate in Call of Duty is a microtransaction. And Apple has a policy that they get a cut of all microtransactions that happen in Apple apps. But because they wouldn't get a piece of that microtransaction, it's against the terms of service.
That just seems dumb.
Or greedy, I think.
Greedy's probably the right adjective.
There's not really a mechanism for Apple to insert itself into the middle of that transaction.
Oh, I'm sure they'd help you develop one.
But how, you know, first they came for the Steam in-home streaming software and I said nothing, and then they came for the remote desktop software. How, like, if I remote into my computer and I'm doing some online shopping on Amazon, do they also want a cut of that?
We say something every week. People are going to use Apple. That's just the world we live in.
The other really big gaming news this week, Total Biscuit has died of cancer. Age 33, which, get yourself checked out. ASAP.
He's very young. He's been doing this for a while, too, like fighting cancer.
I think his diagnosis was when he was 29.
He was really young.
Yeah, and he actually he got the remission for a little while there, which it seemed like, you know, the cancer was really far along, I think, when they first found it. I was like, you've got this tiny chance. And then it was over, and it was like, oh, my God, I beat the odds. And then that's a punch to the gut when it comes back. Everything about this story depresses me.
Yeah.
He was a game critic, and he was pretty... I think he was pretty good as a game critic.
He was one of the, like, first really big gaming YouTubers I remember hearing about.
Yeah, he was an entertaining guy to watch, for sure. Or listen to, mostly.
It was very acerbic while also being entertaining. So, our hats off to Total Biscuit, I guess. Or pour one out for Total Biscuit. Or I don't know what's appropriate here.
Well, it was British. You know... One thing about Total Biscuit, I thought he had, like, the best name. Like, what a great name. Because, you know, we grew up in the South, with Southern cooking, and we love biscuits. But then one day it occurred to me, he's talking about cookies. His name was really Total Cookie. And I didn't like it as much then after that.
Wow, man. I mean, he just passed away.
Well, I'm sure it was good for him, but I'm just saying, like, I thought Total Biscuit was the coolest name ever. But he wasn't talking about real biscuits.
He wasn't talking about no biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of our UK viewers are looking up biscuits and gravy right now.
they're in for of pleasure.
Didn't he live in, like, North Carolina or something? I bet he got some gravy and biscuits.
Did he? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's not far from us.
That's fun. Scientists plan a DNA hunt next month for the Loch Ness Monster. So, yeah, they're literally going to swab the bottom of the loch, looking for DNA evidence of the Loch Ness Monster or undocumented, whatever.
You know what would be crazy? If the diver, when it was like first night, he went down with that swab and got eaten by the Loch Ness.
That would be great.
Although, crazy would that be?
I don't think they're doing it with handheld swabs.
I think that they are.
This is called environmental DNA. So when you live in the water, it turns out you're constantly leaving your disgusting DNA as you swim around.
Do you know what fish do in that water?
So they expect to not just find Nessie's DNA, but also basically to DNA type the entire loch. So
that might be interesting. There could be a lot of good scientific data that comes out.
Oh, it's going to be super interesting, but what it's not going to do is find a dinosaur.
Listen, I want to believe.
I would love it if they... Well, let's say they found it, and it's real, and it's down there. What happens next?
We immediately murder it.
Probably. Or they try to catch it and put it in captivity.
Do a biopsy of its brain and kill it.
Yeah. I've seen this movie. I know how this ends.
They're going to fly it to New York, put it on display.
Yeah, it's going to die on that plane ride.
I hope that they don't find Nessie, and she lives a happy life forever how long her kind live.
Dodging the bullet, as it were, continuously. This doctor has been slammed by the medical board for selling a $5 homeopathic sound wave. Have we entered the nonsense section?
We have. How did you know? Nonsense section. I mean,
did the last story not tip it off?
Wait, let me reread that because this is crazy. A doctor, medical doctor, has been slammed by the medical board because he's a medical doctor for selling $5 homeopathic sound waves. Homeopathic sound waves.
Now, here's what's incredible, though. You can get the homeopathic sound wave as a wave file or an MP3. So not only does it cure Ebola, but it can survive compression and still have all of its medicinal qualities intact.
The four-year transform do?
Here's my question. As a consumer, as a would-be consumer, doesn't Ebola make you like bleed out of every orifice, including your ears? So how do I use the sound wave, doctor?
I wonder if...
It's only for mild cases of Ebola.
Mild, yeah.
Do better headphones have more Ebola-curing power than crap? What if you have
Buy the $10 headphones.
What do you think a pair of Apple earbuds could do?
Not cure Ebola.
Just keep it at bay?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's going to get... It's like, dear doctor, your $5 sound wave did not work. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry. You needed some Sennheiser headphones. Yeah. It's just not going to cut it on your Apple earbuds.
Subscription plan.
So they actually reached out to this guy and he did respond and he explained how he did it. He took a coil and attached it to a speaker. Ugh. And then he took a vial of Ebola vaccine and he put that down in the coil and activated the speaker so it was vibrating. Then he recorded that sound for about 30 seconds. And that was enough to create this wave file.
What makes me mad about that is that there's that man got access to Ebola vaccine, and instead of treating someone who probably has Ebola, he was like, let me do this instead.
I kind of doubt he actually went through that process.
You doubt it?
I think he might be making that up, yeah.
I don't think. I think I could see him actually doing it and then being like, check this out.
Well, he's going to lose his medical license, but he's making more money selling the homeopathic sound wave.
Do people... I have so many questions.
Public service announcement. If you have Ebola, don't go to homeopathic websites.
There was, when I took my mom to have surgery, they had an Ebola flyer up in the waiting room.
In fact, if you have Ebola, don't go to any websites. Go to a hospital.
They have flyers up to tell you what to do if you think you have Ebola.
What you have to do is go to the hospital and say, I think I have Ebola. They'll take care of all the rest.
For a small fee, if you're living in the U.S.
But it's whatever that fee is, if you have Ebola, you're going to need to go ahead and pay it. Yeah.
Probably worth it in that case.
You know what else is happening over the internet that just doesn't seem like it would be possible? The Church of England is going to accept commune with God through your Amazon Echo. So yeah, you can just ask Alexa to pray for you, and she'll totally do it.
Well, she'll put in the request, the work order.
A
ticket has been submitted. Your ticket is 1374-1284.
I think we need to immediately get started on an app that takes confession and gives communion.
This is what?
Imagine what we could do with that data. We could sell that data to the cops, to Facebook. That it would be a limitless well of data mining and confessions.
Were it not for the impenetrable wall of GDPR.
Well, we don't have to give it to the Euros. Let's just use it on Canada.
Let's collect the data from Europe, but not actually let anybody have access to the data in Europe and just sell it to everybody else. Problem solved. That's kind of how it works, right? Well, certainly the UK is fearing that military robots should not learn war from video games. And the more I think about it, the more I wonder if just Brian Wheeler has just added StarCraft to this article arbitrarily. Because I don't think this article doesn't have anything to do with StarCraft.
Well, no, they need to construct additional pylons while you're in the middle of combat.
I don't know if they put it in the report, but they did mention specifically StarCraft 2 because it is such a complicated game for an AI to play. Because they actually trained an AI to play StarCraft 2. And then they put it up against the pro players, and they crushed it. So
I mean, that game is pretty terrifying at high levels.
Yeah.
Or low levels.
But still, I don't see how Do you think, like, we would train our military robots with StarCraft II, and then we just let them out in the field, they start building pylons everywhere? Just get blown up.
I need, like, more Vespene gas.
I don't think there's a... There's not a one-to-one conversion of StarCraft II. They do talk about the cyber attacks. Like, maybe it could figure out how to work its way around security systems. But security systems don't have, like, that arbitrary rule set. So I don't think there's much risk.
You need to build more queens.
I don't think that that's... I just don't think those data sets are really particularly... Like, those data sets are useful for researching the AI itself, but not actually, like, military tacticians.
Yeah, I think it might just be people in government who don't understand anything about technology.
In other news, a PSN user has been permanently banned for claiming that his dad works for Sony.
Oh, this should be on Not the Onion.
That's such a great story.
Doesn't this always happen, though?
It's like, yeah.
My dad is Bill Gates.
So, yeah, this guy got beaten in some game, and the other guy was threatening him, and he came back with, "You're not going to do anything because my dad works at Sony, and he will get you banned." Well, Sony was very upset that he was not... His dad did not, in fact, work at Sony.
As it turns out, he's not the son of a Sony employee.
So he's been banned, lifetime banned, for making that assertion. Which, and like you say... If they're going to start cracking down on this, we're going to see a lot of bans.
I've seen this joke all the time in online games where someone's like, "Oh, I'm friends with the admin. Watch out."
It is literally a meme. Like, the whole, like, because that's what 12-year-olds do. I don't think 12-year-olds are, like, maybe they're horrible 12-year-olds, but I don't think 12-year-olds are even cognizant enough to know what's really happening. But soon they will learn.
Well, but if you make that argument, then they shouldn't be online.
Yeah, exactly.
My general perception, having played games with 12-year-olds, is that they're usually more polite. Not always, but it's usually like slightly older kids.
But see, you're playing Overwatch. And that's a little bit different crowd.
Doesn't Blizzard have a zero tolerance policy on that kind of stuff, though?
They say they do. It's more lip service, I think, than actual action.
Do you depend on Slack for getting work done in your workplace? You poor thing. What are you doing? Why are you just doing that wrong? Well, Slack is going to incorporate AI analysis to detect mansplaining.
Thank goodness, said no one.
Krista, how many times do you feel like you've been mansplained here?
You know, it's countless. It's hard to quantify. I don't really, like, I understand that it's frustrating sometimes to have someone talk down to you in that way, but I feel like it's all in the mannerism, and it's not something that can be easily quantified with AI, because someone might just be giving you a helpful answer and happen to be male. Now, so how do you tell the difference between condescending or just being helpful?
Well, I think it has to be, like, in a certain tone, exasperated, more information that you wanted. And when you put all those things together, I think I've been mansplained about the Lord of the Rings universe about 500 times.
Listen, you don't understand Celebrimbor's character arc because you just played Shadow of Mordor?
Shadow of Mordor was actually worse than not playing anything at all, because now you have to do twice as much work to undo all the horrible things you learned from Shadow of Mordor.
Exactly. All the lore is so wrong.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly how Slack is going to do this, and I'm not sure
AI
what it's going to. Is it just going to string replace? And
in other news, Slack is also going to cure cancer and get a man to the moon.
About why a man? Why's he got to be a man?
It's true. Yeah, think about all the women.
I would flag that as mansplaining.
But think about all the women that have been on the moon. Let's count them.
My dad works at Slack, and
do you think the data sets that go into this thing are going to be like the most dystopian thing ever? Like, we need a database of all the mansplaining ever, and it's like, whoa, this is not all mansplaining.
Is it going to be that, or is there going to be like live flagging?
And there's just too much contextual stuff. Like, what if the girl is new and doesn't understand something, or what if she's like, you know, a senior, and then someone's like talking down her and being like, "You don't understand the project." Well, of course that is, but how is the AI going to know? The answer is it doesn't. So it's just false flagging everything.
I guess we're going to find out.
Do you think maybe that Slack felt like they weren't getting enough coverage in the news, and they were like, "Oh, let's do this."
It's definitely a big bandwagon.
Level one, asking the hard questions with people's use and or misuse of Slack. Tencent's WeChat drops a sugar daddy dating website. So WeChat is really big in Asia and other parts of the world. And so that's actually China's top social media app. They've got a sugar daddy dating website that they have added to their portfolio. It's called Seeking Arrangement.
And it's literally hot girl plus rich guy.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the formula.
The tagline is about getting gifts, and getting your bills paid, and having a
top shelf fun. Life.
I think there was concern here that this was basically thinly veiled prostitution.
I think the veil is almost atomic level thin here. I'm pretty sure that what you are expected to give in return for your gifts and bill pays is sex.
If Erner Weisenberg were looking at this thing on a graph and he sent an x-ray through, it would be almost completely transparent except for like one little place where the electron bounced back and it's like, oh, all the mass is concentrated in this little middle part here.
So bad news if you're a Chinese sugar daddy.
If you were looking for a sugar, is that what's the, are you sugar baby? Is that a sugar mama?
Yeah, it's, I think not baby. Sugar mama. I think it's a baby, yes.
So this website is still up, at least as of the time that we're shooting this too. So I don't know how effective this is.
Well, it's an
be.
App.
Or is being a sugar baby or a sugar daddy, does that lower or heighten your social media score?
Well, that's a good question.
Let's talk to our Chinese correspondent.
You should hash that out in the chat. Chat.
Comments, because we're not streaming.
Which, do you think that they're equally bad for society, if we're saying it's bad? Who's the worst
victim?
Person?
Which one is worse? There's not a clear answer to that.
There's something that's kind of like skeevy about both.
I mean, the baby,
she's taking advantage of someone who's lonely.
But
for
she's
money.
Probably stimulating the economy more because she's taking that money and spending it. I don't think the babies are big savers.
I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt that.
Well, I guess we'll just put that in the pile of unanswered questions.
And remember, next week is Computex week, so next week the news, all bets are off. We don't have any idea what's going to happen, but there will probably be a lot of videos. So, of course, this could also be the most boring Computex ever.
We don't know yet.
Don't know.
You'll have to tune in to see. Hit that like, favorite, and subscribe button.
Subscribe out of sequence.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.